It does not seem to be important that you know my name, but only where I am from. I am from a village of Zarephath, which is in the region of Sidon, which is just north of the border of Israel. I have been widowed for some time now. It is just me and my son. I do all that I can to provide a decent life for the boy, but it is certainly not easy. There is no such thing for us as what you call welfare or social security. If I am to survive and feed my son, I must be resourceful and work hard, and we live a frugal life. I am always grateful for the generosity of my neighbors, which at times has really meant the difference between having something to eat and going hungry. I do well, and when the economy is good and crops are good and things are plentiful, everyone is relaxed and things are quite free and everyone is generous. But when the economy is bad, and what I mean by that is when the crops are not good, then it is much more difficult, and everyone becomes much more nervous and much more careful about their generosity and how they share. And for widows, it becomes much more difficult to survive. I have been told that the drought that we are currently under, and we have been under this drought now for over a year, the word that I have heard is that the reason that we are in the midst of this severe drought that has really crippled our produce and caused a famine in this area, the reason for that is because there is a prophet in Israel whose name is Elijah, who prayed to God that God would withhold rain from the earth until the king of Israel, whose name is Ahab, repented of his wickedness and his corruption. It is amazing to me that after a year and a half, maybe even more now, the king still has not repented. And what happens is that when the king is corrupt and when the king of a country is wicked, it is not just the king who suffers for it, but everybody suffers for it. And even we suffer for it, even though we are not a part of Israel. We are separate from them, yet we still suffer because of someone else's wickedness. I am not an Israelite, and I was not born a Jew. I am a Gentile, and I have been raised as a Gentile, but there is a synagogue in Zarephath. And one time, not too long ago, some friends asked if I would go with them to synagogue, and I did. And the rabbi spoke on a text from the book of Genesis, and he spoke about a man whose name was Abraham, maybe you've heard the name, and his son, his only son, whose name was Isaac, and how the Lord their God told Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac, his only son. And at that point, the rabbi certainly had my attention, because I too have an only son whom I love very, very much. And the thought of sacrificing him was terrifying to me. The rabbi spoke about how Abraham was a man of such great faith in the God of Israel that he obeyed the God of Israel and his command, and he took his son, his only son, Isaac, to sacrifice him. And that as they were walking along the way to the place of sacrifice, I guess, the son, Isaac, asked his father, and he said, "Father, where is the lamb for the sacrifice?" And Abraham is reported to have replied, "My son, the Lord will supply and provide a lamb for the sacrifice." I have to tell you that my initial impression of this God of Israel was not a very positive one at all. That what kind of God is this who would put someone who believed and trusted in him into such a precarious position and ask him to make such a difficult choice between his own son and his God as this. And yet Abraham seemed to have gone forward with it. When they arrived at the place where the sacrifice was to take place, Abraham bound his son Isaac with cords and then laid him on this pile of sticks on which he was going to sacrifice him. He raised the knife over his son's head, and at that point I did have a strong feeling that this was terrible, that this was repulsive, that this was something that no God should require of anyone. And I wondered, I doubted whether or not a God, so if he had a son of his own, would he be willing to do such a thing to his own son? And then the rabbi said, but God provided. And the angel of the Lord spoke and told Abraham to put down the knife, and that there was a ram, I guess, that got its horns caught in a thicket of thorns nearby. And Abraham was told to go and take that ram and sacrifice it in place of his son Isaac. And when it was all done, Abraham called that place Jehovah Jireh, the Lord provides. And to this very day, I have heard people talk about that place where that sacrifice took place as the place where the Lord provided. I went home and I began just to think a lot about what I had heard in synagogue that day and wondered about this God of Israel, this God who seems to be able to withhold rain from the sky for as long as he chooses to, and this God who provides for those who put their trust in him in such a dramatic way, who put their trust in him in situations that seem almost impossible and ridiculous even. And I wondered whether this God would provide for me if I were to put my trust in him like Abraham did. Frankly, I admired this faith that Abraham had. I have always been someone who has had to provide for himself, herself, and it has always been up to me and me alone to take care of myself and my family. And the thought of having a God who would provide for me was interesting. It was something that I thought a lot about, in the peace that must come from it and the security that must be felt from that. It was not too long after that at all that my food supply really began to grow thin. And when I took inventory of all that I had, I could only count a small handful of flour and a little oil in a jug. And after 2 days of eating nothing, the hunger got to the point where I decided I was going to make a small loaf of bread out of the small handful of flour and the oil that I had, bake it for my son so that we may eat it and die. I went out to the city gate where I knew that there were sticks that I could gather to build a fire with, and each one, as I bent over, picked it up, each one I said, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord provides. And as I stood up after picking up one stick, there was a man standing right in front of me, and it was obvious he was not from our area, not from our town. And it was also very obvious that he was weary and that he had not eaten in a long time. He was hungry, and you could see it in his face. I asked him his name, and he said, my name is Elijah. And I said, are you the Elijah who prayed for this drought? And he nodded his head. And I was not sure what to think. He explained to me how he had been in the wilderness for some time, hiding from King Ahab, who was hunting for him, and that he had been fed by ravens, and that he had drunk from a brook as long as it ran, but then eventually the brook too dried up and the ravens went away. And the word of the Lord came to me, he said, arise and go to Zarephath in the region of Sidon. I have commanded a widow there to feed you. And he looked right at me. And he said, "You are the one. Go and bring a little water in a vessel that I may drink." Well, the well in Zarephath still was running, and so I went and got him to get him a drink. I was no more than 10 steps away from him when he called again, and he said, "And bring me a morsel in your hand that I may eat." And I stopped in my tracks, and I turned to him. Surely he did not understand my situation. And I am sure that he did not understand how impossible his request of me was. And I have to tell you, I was just a bit angry with him for even asking me. I mean, a poor widow. There are others who have much more than I have that he could just as easily have gone to. And he is a Jew, and I am a Gentile, and there are Jews living in Zarephath, and he could have gone to his own people and asked them. And he came to me, and he asked me of such a thing. And he must have seen the look in my eye, and he said, "No, the Lord has called me to come to you. Do not be afraid, for the Lord will provide for you." I said to him, "I have only a small handful of grain and a little oil in a jug, and I am gathering sticks that I may prepare it for my son and myself to eat, that we may eat it and die." He said, "Thus says the Lord, go and do as you have said, but first, bake me a small cake and bring it to me, and afterward, go and prepare for your son and yourself." And I was furious at that point. He was not even asking me for the leftovers that I might have after my son and I had eaten. He was not asking me for whatever I could spare. He was asking me to bake a loaf of bread for him first, and then go and bake for myself. And I guess he saw the anger, the confusion, the frustration in my face, and he said, "Do not be afraid. Thus says the Lord, the jar of flour will not be spent, and the jug of oil will not be empty until the Lord brings rain upon the earth." And so I did what Elijah said. I remember how hard it was, though. I remember how my son, when I baked that loaf of bread for the prophet and began to take it to him, my son, before I left our house, said, "Mother, where is the bread that we will eat?" And I turned to him and said, "My son, the Lord will provide the bread for us to eat." And you can ask me 100 times to explain it, and I will never be able to give you a satisfactory answer because, frankly, I don't understand it. But the flour in the jar was never finished, and the oil in the jug was never emptied. And my son and I ate and were satisfied for many days. I have learned from this that this God of Israel is worthy of our trust. He is worthy to be trusted. He supplies us and provides us with our daily bread and all the needs that we have for this body and in this life. To this very day, when I go to that jar of wheat and that jug of oil, I call it the place where the Lord provided for me. I don't know if you see the irony in this as I see it, but to me it is an ironic thing that this God of Israel would send his holy man, his prophet, to a foreign country and to a widow who had nothing and who was a Gentile to boot. That to me seems ironic, and yet the fact that the Lord, the God of Israel, asked me to be the servant to his holy man is something that I am completely honored by. I also find it even more ironic, that the irony is actually greater, in that since I was put to this test, and since I went and did as the Lord had said through his prophet, since I did that, then I actually received back more from the prophet than I had given to him. That the prophet actually provided for me more than I provided for him, because he gave me a faith in this God of Israel, a faith that trusts that this God will provide for me all that I need in this body and in this life and even in this life that comes after death. To this day, I still live day by day. Things are not easy. It continues to be hard. But in all that I do, I trust in this God of Israel, because I believe that he is a Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides.